Right, hallelujah. That's Benjamin Dube and Nie Zimu, who are both pastors as well, right out of South Africa. And we thank God for that music. We also thank God for those who are calling in with their responses about what they should do for this dealing with a family member who doesn't want an interaction or communication with them, and who actually had the nerve, the audacity to say that they would be sad when they see them coming and glad when they see them leaving. So here are some of the things that we have to share thus far. We heard from Sister D as well, who said, you know, sometimes you just have to let them be dealt with according to how God wants to deal with them, and just let them know that you're there for them. I totally agree with that as well. We heard from another person that just said you have to love them and just be there in prayer as well. And to put those together, I want to share what I feel that I've learning through my own dysfunctional family and disconnected family. Remember, I mentioned a while ago, the closer we get to Christ, even though my family is Christian, the more distant family members become at times. Even though I'm not walking around quoting scriptures, hitting people over the head like Aunt Esther with the Bible on Sanford and Son, but there's just something that causes disconnect. And so I have learned from God the very hard way in reaching out to family and reaching out and not hearing any reason as to why we're not communicating or to why this main person I'm thinking of has become so harsh towards me and has become purposely hurtful and has started to present me in demonic and to vilify me in ways that are not true to two children that we both helped raise. And so pray for me for that also, and pray for us, and pray for Brother Marvin as well, and pray for all of us as we deal with family dysfunction. I learned from God how to love from a distance, because I cannot fathom in my mind how to cut anybody off, because God never cuts me off. And I know some of us think, oh, that's the best thing to do, just cut them off. I can't cut family off. And, you know, even people who aren't family, because for me, they are part of the family of God, even if they're not a part of my biological family. So if God ever cut me off when I've done wrong or fallen short or disappointed God or made a mistake or sinned or whatever, or show the fact that I'm very much like all of us, imperfect, then maybe I would do that. But that's not the case. God doesn't turn his back on us. God doesn't stop answering the phone when we call, or answering our text messages from our heart when we type that out. God doesn't stop hearing us, listening to us, and attending unto our needs. And so when family members do those ungodly things, I still need to do the God-like things. Remember the Christian, the Christ-like things, and that is to love from a distance and being available and very open to a healthy relationship. And you can let them know that, Brother Marvin, as well as for myself, you can let them know that some people won't hear it verbally, audibly when you try to say it. You can type it out or write it out, or send it to them, or text it, or email it. Make, you know, a lot of times I like to do voice, because text and type has tone to it sometimes that is not existent. But still, because of that person hearing it through their own challenged ears, or reading it, reading it through their own challenged eyes, that they may hear tone where there is no tone. So sometimes I like to do it in person so they can read the body language and the voice and the tone behind it, that look, I'm not sure what's going on, or I know you said these things, that you're sad to see me coming and glad to see me leaving, and that hurts my heart because I care about you and I don't know why you feel that way. But if it's something that I've done, these are some of the words we could use, I would really appreciate if you would tell it to me, because I do have a teachable spirit because of God. And if I've hurt you in some way, I want to know, and I need to know, so that I can apologize for it if it's something that I've done, or that I can clear it up if it's something that's just a misunderstanding. But just holding a wall up against me or negative feelings is not helpful And I don't think it helps us to represent God in the way that God would want us to be as family. Like, oh my goodness, that takes so much effort. No, it doesn't. And it takes some, though, and it's worth it if it can heal a family. But sometimes it doesn't work, or it doesn't work when we think it should work or as it should work. But we can continue to pray for those family members, even as we are waiting at a distance. But I know the rejection, the calling, the even tried to give one of my relatives money through the online service just, you know, to bless him while he's in school. And when I realized that that wasn't accepted, my little heart was just crushed. And so it took God to tell me to treat one of my closest relatives the way that he taught me to treat my enemies, to love from a distance, to be open to a healthy relationship, and to pray on their behalf without ceasing. And so that's what I tell you also. I hope that answered your question in a practical way, Brother Marvin, so that you can use that, and that we can use that. And so I thank you for that. It goes again with what we're talking about tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. That is what I had to learn. I kept thinking, with as limited and as small as my family is, in losing my mom at such a young age, and then my dad and my grandparents who raised us, that I want to keep close the very few that I have with me. And so I thought, these are the last three people that I have in my life biologically that know me from the beginning and meet them from the beginning, and who I thought would see the good, but for some reason don't. And so I thought, I'm just gonna die. I was just crying for days, not hours, but days, just straight, not eating, not sleeping right. Even when I dozed off a little bit from exhaustion, it was coming up in my subconscious, in my dreams, that were like nightmarish. And so it gets really bad when we let it. And it took God stepping into that and saying, you're not going to die you're not going to die since they have turned their backs on you. I know they weren't there for you when you went through all the health stuff and all the challenges. I know they weren't there for you in all those umpteen surgeries. I know they weren't there for you for your celebrations, for your graduations, for your ordination. They weren't there for any of your Asians, but I was. God was. God is. And God is there, the only one, which is what God taught me. And you already know this, but I'm going to tell it to you again anyway. The only one we cannot live without. The only person, the only thing, the only power that we cannot live without is Jesus Christ. That includes family. That includes friends. That includes pastors. That includes leaders. That includes members of churches. That includes ministry colleagues. The only one we cannot, absolutely cannot live without is Christ. And so I hope that you remember that and keep things in perspective. A lot of times when we are as sheep having problems, it is because of some of the characteristics that we as humans have that are somewhat similar to sheep. And we're going to talk about that when we get from the next. Well, actually, we're going to slide into our ha hallelujah moment, you know, because there were some things mentioned before. I've heard sermons about sheep and comparing us to sheep and how sheep are dumb, and I never really agreed with it. I would still hear what I could hear that I could get that was good from the sermon, but I never really agreed with that part, because we are compared to sheep throughout the Word of God by God, God's self. And God created us as the best of his creations, not dumb. So that just didn't make sense to me. It also didn't make sense to me that God and Jesus would compare Jesus to a dumb animal that's known to be dumb. You know, Jesus is the Lamb of God. So a lot of times we see pictures that are of a lamb or a sheep, and we see that it is to represent Christ because of the Word of God that lists Christ in that way as the sacrificial lamb, as who came as humbly as a sheep, but is more powerful as a lion. And so we're going to talk about the characteristics that we have that are similar to sheep and how we can use those to our benefit, though, okay? So it is this other time, though. Let's do our, you know how we do it, right? Oh, my God. Okay, okay. Ha, 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 hallelujah. I got a few clips for you tonight because I owe you one from last night. I was going to do double last night, but I didn't. We ran out of time. And I do like to be obedient to the ending time also, not just being on time, but in time, within time. So tonight we're going to hear from T-Bubba Bechtold, and we're also going to hear from Small Fry, who's also known as Small Fire. So remember, my microphone is on purpose so I can listen in, laugh in with you. But you can also still call. You can't bother me. Just give me a call, 904-296-2251.
So glad to be here in Hurricane Hole, Florida. In the heart of the Redneck Riviera. Isn't this a great place to live? I mean, it really is. We got rednecks and cowboys and candlestick makers and condominium takers down here. It's the biggest mishmash of people, I tell people, everywhere I go you've ever seen in your life. Rich folks, poor folks, everybody down here just together in a big old pile. No place represents that more than Destin. They have Plum Run, that little fishing village. You can spend Canadian money in Destin, Florida now. It's the only place I've ever seen a Bass Pro Shop right next to a Saks Fifth Avenue. True story. You can get a double chocolate latte in a John Deere dealership in Destin, Florida. That's kind of true. I've never seen anything like it. Now, what I'm about to tell you is the truth. I love living here. Now, I'm going to tell you some lies tonight, but this is the truth. 10 years ago, Opal came and took my house away. I live out on Pensacola Beach. You know, that's real Southern. I believe anybody who lives north of I-10 is a Yankee. And Opal came and took my house. Just took the roof off of it, knocked everything down. It's just crazy. Friends from all over America calling me. Oh, man, I can't believe it's happened to you. Are you okay? Can we put you on our prayer list? Is there anything we can do for you? I said, no, you know, we'll make it. I'll be all right. 10 years later, after I rebuilt that house, Ivan came and took it again. Same people call. Bubba, are you okay? Friends and fans and everybody calling. You know, I can't believe it just happened to you again. Do you need anything? No, we'll be all right. We're tough here. We can handle this. We rebuilt the house. 11 months later, moved in it, lived in the house 21 days. Then Dennis came and took it again.
Oh, my God.
Same people call. But this time, the phone calls were a little different. They're calling up saying, Bubba, are you stupid? They say, man, you don't need insurance. You need luggage. I got a T-shirt made. Said, I'm rebuilding my house on the beach in Florida. If you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough. 15 storms in 20 months, that's just too much. But it's like, we learn to live with it. It's where we live. It's who we are. You know, I tell people everywhere I go, you know, and that's been a little more in the news than lately. It's just, I say, well, you know, it's like where you live, you have, you know, natural disasters. And they go, yeah. And, you know, Category 1 comes along. We don't even pull the patio furniture in, man. You know. Category 1, we ain't even going to get excited. Might not even come home early from work. Category 2, big waves are starting to come in, man. All the little surfer dudes are out there. You know, time for a hurricane party. No big deal, Category 2. They're out there surfing. Big waves coming on Pensacola Beach. We also got a shark problem there. I call them surfers Triscuits.
What?
You know what a Triscuit is? It's a long cracker with a little piece of meat on it. And all the Triscuits are out there surfing. But you know, there ain't nothing funny about a Category 3 and a 52-foot wave called Ivan coming at you. That just wasn't funny. But we did have one good thing happen. We had a Cuban that escaped Havana. and made it all the way to Pensacola, Florida in 18 minutes on an ironing board.
Okay, we're gonna transition now to Small Fry.
Tonight is overwhelming. It's like this dude I know, he's so fine. It's just overwhelming. I know y'all got saved and got the Holy Ghost and don't know who fine is. I didn't get that kind.
Oh, All right. Okay. So that was Small Fry, also known as Small Fire. And before that, we heard T. Bubba Bechtel. And so I think I've paid up now. We heard two tonight instead of the one. We're going to continue with the Word of God. Thank you so much for listening in and standing in the gap with Pastor Monica. We're here from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So you still have time to get in your prayer requests as well as your praise reports. The number is 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. Remember, we are talking about the 23rd Psalm, specifically, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When church hurts, when church people get hurt by church people, how can we get our healing? Stay with us right here on Standing in the Gap. This is Praise 107.9.
Understand that beyond the walls, behind the mask and confident smile, was a broken man trying to grow up and make life worthwhile. And I know there were times that you probably shouldn't, but I thank you for always loving me. And I know anyone else, they probably wouldn't, but I thank you for always loving me. Now I know there were days I'd look at myself, I felt like less of a person compared to everyone else. What about this flaw? Too big, too small, can I exchange? And trying to make up for what I fell short, I let sin slip away. But when I look in the mirror and don't like what I see, oh, I just thank you for always loving me. And I know I get bad, but you wait. Always loving me. Oh, I just thank you for always loving me. Father, I wanna thank you for always loving me. See, you just keep loving me.
Loving me.
Thank you for loving me. For always
loving me.
And though I know I don't have everything that it takes, you keep loving me. And regardless of every mistake that I make, you keep loving me, yeah. And it probably don't matter what I do or say, you keep loving me. Oh, and even with the pimples on my face, you keep loving me. For loving me, yeah. Oh, to you just keep loving me. Lord, I thank you for always loving me.
Amen. God, we pray to you right now. We ask that you help us where we need it the most. Help us to represent you in all ways, dear God. We ask that you continue to bless Mr. C, that you continue to bless him. Thank you for helping him to overcome the heart attack that he had not too long ago. We ask that you continue to bless him as he is in ministry school now as well. And we ask that you continue to bless the family as they grieve over the loss of his nephew. We ask, dear God, that you also continue to bless Brother CJ, bless his soul, and bless his family as well over the loss of him. We pray on behalf of those who caused his death. And we ask, dear God, that you help them to get into the right relationship with you, to seek forgiveness, and to allow justice to take place for them taking the life of someone and becoming the decider of life when it is none of our responsibility to do so. We ask, oh God, that you help them to see that the family of the person whom they shot forgives them, and they execute the love that you have given to and through them to these young men. And we ask that you help them to receive that and to walk in that forgiveness and to be used by you in mighty ways to help others not to repeat the wrong that they did. We pray right now, dear God, on behalf of those who are struggling financially, those who are struggling with homelessness as well and need not just a place to stay, but need a place that can become home, God. We ask, God, that for those who do have residence right now, we thank you for any type of shelter. But we know, God, you are a God who believes and lets us know that you believe in us having an abundant life. And so we ask, dear Lord, we ask because we know that you can give, that you can provide a better place for those who are in shelters, but not their own house. For those who are sheltered within the residences of family members and loved ones, but not their own. For those, dear God, who are kind of inhabiting a place with others, but don't feel welcomed. We ask you, God, to give them by your own decision, give them their own place that can become their own home with your presence in it. We pray now, dear God, also for the loved ones of Barbara Thomas who continue to grieve her loss as well as her very close friends there in Philadelphia. We ask now, dear God, also that you continue to bless Brother Glover as well as Sister Murphy in the ministries that you are beginning through them. And we ask that you continue to provide for the visions that you give them. We also, dear God, pray on behalf of those who require counseling but think that it's embarrassing or that they should be full of shame for reaching out for help. For those who need therapy, God, help them to get to the right place. For those that need counseling, help them to, dear God, to see that it is the move of a warrior to know when they need help. For those that need medical attention because something is going wrong or going on in the body that shouldn't be, help them, dear God, to not be afraid to go and see medical doctors, the he's and she's that have been blessed by you to be healers for those who are on this earth, that we know you created us and you can heal us and help us, but we also know that you help us through other individuals who have specialties that can see what's going on in our minds, our psyches, within our brains, within our bodies, our physiological beings, within our physical beings. We ask, dear God, that you help us to stop playing around with our health and to go and find out what's wrong, to see the truth as we're talking about tonight so that we can deal with the truth instead of the truth dealing with us while we're laid out on our back somewhere. We ask now, dear God, for those who have ministries and churches that are truly about your business, that you continue to bless and that you help and that you continue to weed out and to prune and that you continue to blossom and to nurture and to water and to grow all the good things that are from you and of you, that truly we may continue to be fruitful and multiply your kingdom starting right here on earth. We love you, God, and we want to be more like you without ever trying to be you. So we ask that where we fall short, you continue to help us and help us in a way also that we can continue to help others, that we don't stand from a place of judgment but of understanding, not afraid to say that we too fell once and that this is how we got up. We pray, dear God, for those who are enduring adultery right now, for those pastors and spouses who are tempted and allowing themselves to walk too far beyond where you would have them to do things that are definitely sinful and against your will, that are hurting their spouses, their wives, their husbands, as well as their children and themselves and their own ministries, and that are affecting the relationship that people have with you, God, when they see a representative of God being so blatant about falling short. We ask, dear Lord, that you help us to recognize just how incredible this responsibility you have placed within us to share your gospel is, how incredible it is, and how impacting it is to so many people who are watching, because people are watching. So help us, God, to represent you, not just on Sunday, but on every day of the week, because you are God every day of the week. Help us, dear God, not to even try to steal an ounce of your glory for any good thing or deed that you have done through us. But we give you all the credit for every sermon. We give you the credit for every lesson. We give you the credit for every word, for every song, for every poem, for every work that has ever been done that has been a blessing to your people and to your kingdom. We give you the glory for it, and we thank you out of a heart of gratitude for allowing us to be a part of it at all. God, we thank you just for being God. We thank you that when our under shepherds fall short, we still have our ultimate shepherd. We thank you that when we get bit and hit by other sheep, that we always can go to you, our good shepherd. We thank you that when some of the sheep are dressed as sheep, but they are really wolves in disguise, that you show us the truth and help us, dear God, that we can be saved and that we can be used to help others. We thank you that you protect us even when we don't feel we need to be protected. And we thank you for healing us beyond the hurt caused by other people, including hurt that we caused ourselves. So in Jesus' name, just continue to have your way in our lives, for truly you know the plans that you have for us, and we trust you in all that you do. And we all say amen. 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 Thank you so much for being with us. We're about to close out this word. You still have about 20 minutes to call in your own prayer requests and praise reports. 904-296-2251. If you go to praise1079.com, the website for praise107.9, go to praise1079.com, and there you go to the Stand in the Gap information, the on-air host information, and you see all the ways to connect with us. You also can see a way to connect with us financially, as far as supporting this ministry, this broadcast, as well as the other efforts that we support that are beyond this studio. Those efforts through Worship Worldwide Ministries Incorporated, as well as through Disciple Shape for discipleship counseling services, affordable, great counseling that we offer for everyone, anyone, anywhere, everywhere, that we have ministers that can either get to you or in person or by phone or over computer or over video phone. There's no reason that we can't get to you. We have people all around the planet so that we can be able to share with you the opportunity for healing and wholeness as ordained by God. They are extremely affordable. Everything is done on an extreme sliding scale. And for 45 minutes, be very transparent, 45 minutes instead of the usual like $170, I think it is in the area where we are now, $175, it's $40 for 45 minutes. And that goes down based on your ability to pay it by insurance or pay it right out of pocket. It doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. Either way, you are covered. And so please be able to reach out for that. The number for Disciple Shape is 904-624-9868. We also have group counseling. We have Shepherding the Shepherds, which includes a lot of pastors and bishops right now that come in a very small very personal, intimate, private group, because it is difficult when under shepherds have to admit that we are falling short or that we're struggling with something. And we started that because the Lord said so, and also because we start seeing more and more reports about pastors committing suicide. And so being a pastor who has also endured suicidal ideation myself and dealing with all the health issues and the lack of family support, I understand how dark that can get and how hopeless it can feel. And it has nothing to do with lack of faith. We still very much have faith and very much preach, but it just feels lonely, beyond lonely, even those who are married with children. So we didn't want pastors to feel like that. So we have Shepherding the Shepherd. And if you want to be a part of that as the group, or if you just want the individual counseling, just give us a call at 904-624-9868. I'm also very excited to announce that we are starting the Discipleship for Discipleship, the workout classes as well, where we offer 45 minutes of physical workout at a particular gym as well. And you don't have to add a membership to this gym, but also you have the practical 15 minutes in prayer and meditation and showing you how to keep your peace, how to get your peace for those who don't realize you have it, how to acquire it, as well as how to dishevel the things that are around it, as well as how to increase the peace that you have. No matter what's going on in my life because of God, no matter what storms are going on around me, spiritually, physically, emotionally, from other people, God always gives me an overwhelming amount of peace because He's made me to be able to share it with other people, but also to have enough for myself. And so it's just my privilege to be able to share what I've learned from God, to share that with you. And it gives you opportunity also, because remember, we are linear. We learn from each other, that I get to learn from you what works for you and whoever else participates in the group. That also is individual one-on-one workouts or within the group. And that number again is 904-624-9868. So let me get back to this word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord tells us in everything that He is our provider. The Lord, that He is always perpetual and present, is. And He is ours when we accept Him. And I hope that you know the doors of the kingdom are open right now for you, brother, and you, sister, your entire family. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do it right now. That's right. What, not at a church? This is a church. This is the body of Christ. Remember, you mean not at a building? That's right. Wherever you are, Jesus Christ opened the doors of the kingdom a long time ago. He's just using us right now to tell you about it. All you have to do is say, Lord, I accept You as Jesus Christ, as my Lord, as my Savior, and I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Amen. That's it. Get yourself to a house of worship somewhere. And if you need some help in finding a place, no matter where you are, again, we have ministers everywhere. So we have a list of places that we have thus far visited more than twice to get some idea as to how they preach, teach, and live the word of God as best as they can. So we'll be glad to share that with you. Some people want a bigger place as far as the number of ministries they offer for children and elderly and everything in between. Some people want more small and intimate, where they really know that they are known. And so we have a list of different ones, not just African Americans, not just Anglo-Saxon Americans, but African-based and Italian-based, Roman Catholic, different places. So please give us a call up here, 904-296-2251. That's the live studio number. And the later number is the Discipleship number, 904-624-9868. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so we're just going to walk our way through this as we get ready to close. See, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And even though friends and families whom I love and adore, and church members and pastors and bishops and leaders whom I look to for guidance may fall short at times, it's okay, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, which means He allows me and lets me know when I need to take a chill pill and step aside. Yes, that does mean sometimes I don't make it to worship, because God said so, not in spite of God. When I have something that's contagious, I should stay myself at home so that I don't make other people sick who are elderly or who have an immune system challenge or who have AIDS or HIV and can catch a cold that can turn into a flu, that can turn into pneumonia, that can turn into death. So yeah, I should take a break sometimes when the doors of the church open and I'm there, and I'm there until they close, and I'm there again as if I live there, but I'm thinking I'm doing godly stuff, but I'm not doing anything that's really of God. That's why I need to know that the Lord is my shepherd, so he can tell me that I need to go home and get some rest and be restored at times, so I can do things not religiously, but in a way that pleases him. He leads me beside the still waters so that I can be nourished by them. God wants me to have a better relationship with him, for he is the living water. And so he lets me to know that I need you to get more of me in you. Your pastor is awesome, but telling people about your pastor, your preacher, is not what gives them salvation. Talking about how somebody jumped up on the pew or ran down the aisle or what type of getup they had, dressed like David or whomever they were dressed like, doesn't bring salvation into their hearts. The only power that gives salvation is the power that caused salvation, and that's Jesus Christ, Jesus self. He restores my soul. That's just another reminder that the Lord is my shepherd. Nobody can restore my soul like Christ, because Christ is the one who created my soul. So yeah, it gets scary sometimes when someone we've been following and mentoring, who is our pastor or minister, who has been there with us from the first time we stepped up to preach or to say anything, or the first time we came down the aisle and gave our hand to the man or the woman and gave our heart to God. But our soul salvation has nothing to do with Pastor Monica or Pastor John or Pastor Elizabeth or Pastor Ron. It has everything to do with the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's the only one who's responsible for my soul. So vocational suicide, if they don't bless me and I still have to leave because God said so, well, then it can be vocational homicide when another pastor tries to sit on your dream. Vocational suicide has nothing to do with someone just has a heart to do what Christ called them to do. But vocational homicide is possible, but it's not probable, because some people will try to stop blessing you so that your ministry is not blessed. But to God be the glory, it can't happen. Your ministry will never have a fatality as long as you know the Lord is your shepherd. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in the paths of righteousness to do the right thing, to live the right way for his name's sake, not to brag about my church. I'm glad you got a great church, a great home that you can go to, a great body of Christ in a certain location. But the church, and telling people about your church and your experience at this church, and no matter how good things are at this church, it is not an invitation of Christ. It is only a conduit for those to be given the invitation of salvation. And it's not about building up your bishop's name, your leader's name. It's not about building up the name of the cathedral. It's not about building up the name of the institutional place. It's not about building up the name of this ministry or this mom and pop shop. It's about the name of Jesus Christ. Because why? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. First of all, by seeing the truth, I'm going to see that it's only a shadow anyway. But even when death does approach, Paul already told you that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything more than what I have, because all I have is all I need. I will fear no evil coming from another person. Sister, there is no man in ministry that can stop what God is doing for you. Brothers, there is no woman anywhere in the world who can stop what God has planned for you. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. For you are with me, God. You are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. So like the characteristics of a sheep, sheep aren't dumb. Sheep actually have a good memory. So I hope that your memory tonight and forevermore is that the Lord is your shepherd. You have no reason to want. His rod and his staff comfort you. How does a rod, a cane, comfort me? His rod keeps the very things away that try to attack you, the spiritual warfare, the other ministers in competition, the other people in competition, the other women in competition for your husband, the other men in competition for your wife. And the staff snatches you back with that hook so that there are times when you need to leave or you need to cast your cares on the Lord, but you want to go farther than he wants you to. There are times where you have a wandering eye and a wandering foot to follow with, but God will have a way of snatching you back as well to comfort you. Yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit, but it's for your good in the end. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. So as he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies, may I tell you what's on that table? There's goodness on that table. The fruit of the Spirit is on that table, which is love and peace and joy and meekness and temperance. And everything that we need is on that table. The bread of life is on that table, for it is Jesus Christ. The living water is on that table, just in case you get thirsty. No one can quench your thirst like Jesus Christ. Everything that you need is on the table, and God would do it in the presence of your enemies. That's why you can love them from a distance. That's why you can pray on their behalf, even when they are family members that turn their back on you. That's why you can be available for a healthy relationship. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. We shall not want. He anoints our head with oil, and he does it so much that even those who are close to us get blessed by the overflow. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I used to think they should lead me, but Jesus leads me. Goodness and mercy follow right close behind me, so that even when I look back at my past, I can look to it through the eyes of goodness and mercy, not beating myself down or being ashamed of what I used to do, not being guilt-ridden, but knowing that I'm forgiven of the things that I did to myself, I'm forgiven of the things I did with others, and I forgive everyone of what was done to me. Because why? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. So if the house of the Lord is where you are right now, but you feel like you are a sheep that needs to go astray, or you feel like you are lost, or you feel like you're being abused, then do what we said tonight and see the truth and seek God. God will help you to see the truth as to whether you should stay and how to deal with the situation, or whether you should move and shake the dust from your feet and how to continue your life with Christ somewhere else. But don't just sit in stagnation. Deacons or deaconess, or those who are women deacons and ministers and executive assistants and pastoral assistants, every one of us, pastors and bishops, we are all responsible for each other. And if we don't check and balance the checks and balances that God has given us with each other, you better know that the Lord is your and my shepherd too. And we shall not want, in a totally different way. Because there's going to come a time and a day, and not just when we die, where Jesus is going to look at us and want to know why we assist a pastor in abusing other sheep. Because the sheep belong to God. Well, why did we turn our eyes away when deacons were having their own way with other people in the congregation? Because the Lord is our shepherd. We don't have a need to want. All we have to do is draw upon the power that he's given us to correct one another and to do what is necessary to get a brother on the right path or a sister in the right way as we're supposed to be. we can dwell in the house of the Lord no matter where we are. If you're in a congregation or you're at home, just make sure your relationship with Christ is as strong as it can be. And when it is, of course, even when it's not, we do have a responsibility to go to worship, to go to the assembly of God. But when the assemblies of God where we typically go are becoming so overcome by worldliness instead of the word, are becoming so influenced by a corporate mindset as opposed to a compassionate mind like Christ for people, then yes, we have to look at some things and make some changes. But the Lord is my shepherd forever and forevermore. And I hope that you are encouraged the same. That God, for he is God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So I hope that you hear his voice today. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. All who came upon them have devoured those who were negative in the adversaries. We are not guilty inasmuch as they have sinned against the Lord, who is the habitation of righteousness. But even the Lord is the hope of all our ancestors. As for you, as God says, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are the men and women, and I am your God, declares the Lord. Whatever good things that God has started within you, then he will bring it to fruition according to his time. And Acts 20 says to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And even in that, dear hearts, it says that we are God's sheep. We are the church of God, and we are the ones that God has purchased with Jesus' own blood. And so even as he has us as overseers, that's to look over, not to look down upon. That's to look beyond and to be able to warn some of our people, some of God's sheep, as to the benefits as well as the burdens of doing ministry, but not to be condescending, not to be self-righteous, and not to ask anyone to sit at our feet. Encourage one another, the truth, to sit at the feet of Christ. He is the only one who is perfect. So for someone to sit at my feet is ridiculous. You know I'm going to say it. You're just going to see I need a pedicure too. You know who doesn't need one? A manicure or a pedicure is the one who's not limited by the limitations of humanity, for he is fully divine, and that is Jesus Christ, Jesus' self. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want anything that I don't have. I shall not have a need of anything that I don't have in my possession. I shall not want the love of some who don't love me, but I can still love them. I shall not want the approval of a pastor who doesn't see my vision, but I can still bless and see his. I don't want the approval of another sister who's a mentor in ministry to be a blessing unto me as I was to her ministry. But I do want the Lord to know that I know the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Every vision God has given you, God will also give you the provision for it. Every blueprint God has given you, he is also giving you the things that are necessary to make it happen. Every prayer that you have prayed, the Holy Spirit has interpreted it to exactly what you meant, and God has heard it and is answering it according to his perfect will. I hope that you are encouraged tonight to continue to be encouraging to other people and to know that the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want.
Visions that can change the world, trapped inside an ordinary girl. She looks just like me, too afraid to dream out loud. And though it's simple, your idea, it won't make sense to everybody. You need courage now if you're gonna persevere. Every victory comes in time. Work today to change tomorrow. It gets easier. Who's to say that you can't fly? Every step take you get closer to your destination. You can feel it now. Don't you know you're almost there?
So much for listening in to Stand in the Gap with Pastor Monica. We'll be back tomorrow. Actually, the pre-recorded show will be on tomorrow from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. But every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Stand in the Gap with me, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So I pray that you are encouraged. I hope that you know that God loves you and that I love you too. And I hope you take the time to encourage someone else, because we all need it, right? Remember that the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. If unemployment, you're facing that, God is your shepherd. You shall not want. God can give you another job. If you're facing divorce or problems within your marriage, don't worry about it. God has you. Just know that He can give you peace where it seems there is no peace. He can heal you where it seems like there is no help, and where things are falling short within the places of worship where you reside. As far as your praise and your adoration of God, know that these are God's churches, God's people, God's sheep. And so God will make things right according to God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just remember, God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. Great is His faithfulness. And I pray that you all stay safe and stay blessed. Good night.
So I sing, great is Thy faithfulness, Thy mercy. And
the springtime and the harvest, the sun, the moon, and the stars in their courses up above. They join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, thy mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. For every time I wake up in the morning, new mercy I see. For all I have needed, thy hand has already provided. So I sing, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.